Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show for Married Men. Brought to you by www.householdstress.com. We also want to welcome our listeners from www.wllradio. And thank you all for being great listeners to the greatest show on Tuesday night. That's between 9 and 11 on Tuesday nights. My name is the head of household, or you can call me P-Town. Or I'm going to add in another one tonight. Call me Mr. Brown, because I believe I'm going to deliver to your street tonight. That's right, I'm UPS. I'm going to be the guy ringing your doorbell, bringing you delivery. Because I think we're going to hit everybody's street this evening. I'll be your host for the evening. And you can join us two different ways, by dialing in to 724-444-7444 and then entering the passcode 59898 and then hitting the pound button. Or you can go to our website, www.householdstress.com, click on the community talk button, and just log in as a guest, and you can chat with us all night long. Women, we would love to hear your side of the great and your great communications about men. However, tonight, this discussion is just for men. You are more than welcome to listen in and go to our website, and we have a blog page that you can check during our call, and sometimes we will reply back while we're on the call. Gentlemen, our topic tonight is you don't satisfy me anymore. Let me say that again. You don't satisfy me anymore. Let me just say it like this. Girl, you don't satisfy me anymore. I can say it in a different voice. Somehow, wow, fellas, either we have heard that said to us, or we have said it sometime in our lifetime in a relationship. What are we talking about? Why do we say that you don't satisfy me anymore? What's the purpose of that? Well, listen, fellas, I'm going to tell you about myself and how I got this topic tonight. It wasn't that I'm not satisfied at home. I'm not satisfied at work. And my life has changed. I went to work, worked hard all day long. Come home, enjoy life, have a smile on your face. And then after a while doing the same routine, you get tiresome of doing the exact same thing daily, every single day. Same routine, wake up at 5 in the morning, check your emails, go to work, get home, you have to go and get traffic. You have to do all these things routinely. And you get burnt out. And what do? Well, the first thing you do is you open up your laptop, you update your resume, and you put it out there online to see what you can get different. Or you ask your management, you say you're ready to move to a different project, or you're ready to move to a different, doing something different. But when you're married, can you do that? Can we follow that exact same process? That's the question out to the audience. Anybody?
Repeat the question one more time.
The question is as I was telling you about how my work, how I'm not satisfied in my work and I want to do something different. Can we do the exact same thing when we're married?
Yeah, I used to think that. I used to think that you could legitimately get like a certain year reprieve.
Hey, we can barely hear you, sir.
Yeah, we can barely hear you, sir.
Can you hear me now?
No.
No.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's great.
Sound like you in the bathroom or something.
No, I had my headphones on.
Okay.
I used to think that in marriage we should get a do-over.
Do-over?
Yeah, do-over. Like, you know, if it ain't working out, you know, no strings attached, you can just say, okay, I'm out. and don't have to worry about courts, any of that stuff.
Man, what I got.
I used to think that. I mean, you know, a long time ago, I would say, you know, maybe
if it didn't work,
you know,
and so be it. I'm out.
Yeah. 2 years, 3 years, you know, you get like a grace period. You're like a grace period, and then you can say, okay, well, you know, it ain't working. I'm legitimately out of here. You don't have to worry about, you know, being sued or whatever it is, alimony or whatever.
Right. I mean, what you're saying is you wanted a clause in your marriage, just like you get clauses in everything else in this world. If you want, you get a new job. Some folks get 90-day clauses before they give you benefits.
Exactly.
If you're gonna work out right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what is the laws on an annulment? I don't really know. How does that work?
That's like
I don't know.
I think, well, as long as you didn't consummate the marriage, you know, that's all I know about it, supposedly. But I don't know the details on that.
Oh yeah, gotcha.
I'm lost, man. I'm gonna tell you, I don't know. What that would, I don't know about an annulment. I don't know how that works. But you did bring up a good point. A lot of us, when we get tired, we don't think our relationship work out. The first thing we think about is jumping ship. Let's just go our separate ways and let bygones be bygones. But is that what we really want to do? You may have been just tired of one thing, but that shouldn't tell you that, hey, because I'm tired of this, then we just need to get rid of everything. Not work on everything else. You know, work on this one part because everything else is working fine, but because we're having this one little problem right in this area, we should call off the whole thing because we are going to see eye to eye to this thing. How does that become a problem? Huh?
Somebody got a TV on. There we go. Where that's coming from?
I don't know. Somebody had TV on, so. So my question is, If it's easy to get out of a marriage, why is it so not so easy to work on your marriage? And then my answer to that question.
Well, you have to sort of admit, you know, to work on it. I mean, it's easier to walk away, you know, as the brother said earlier. I mean, it's easier just to pack your bags and roll out. I mean, that's the easiest thing to do. But to stay in it and work on it, I mean, nobody really wants to do that. That's too much work.
That's too much work.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. Because the reason why I asked that question is I went to my wife's family reunion this weekend. And for the folks who haven't been to a family reunion before, this is when, you know, two sides get together and they become a family. And then we have a tree that's created off that family. From the offsprings, and it all comes back to the main focus, and that's the parents of the initial two points. So I went to my wife's side, and so one of the things that they said in here is, and they were trying to show the generation gap, is they asked all people who were married to stand up. And then they asked all the people who have been married less than a year to sit down. So we have one couple sit down. Brand new folks just got married. Then they said less than 5 years. And then you see folks sitting down. Less than 10 years. Less than 20 years. Then they got up there and there was two folks left. Less than 25 years. Less than 30 years. Less than 40 years. Less than 50 years. And I think there was one couple that stayed open for 52 years. They've been married. We don't see that. But the conversation afterwards is, why don't we see that anymore? How come we can't see our marriages lasting for a lifetime? Because well,
I don't think that it's that people don't see their marriages lasting for a lifetime. It's just that now we're in a culture where your personal happiness outweighs the happiness that you vowed that you would be a part of and look to create together. Individuality is more valued than anything joint. So, when you're not happy, why be miserable? Get out of it.
Yep.
And that's where, honestly, I think it is. I don't think anyone goes in and saying, you know, if this doesn't work, I'm going to get divorced and I can keep getting divorced. Nobody's thinking that. I mean, you honestly get into it under the premise that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this person. I feel really great about it going in, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is that, you know, it's like a quick fix. It's no different than anything else right now in society. When you start to get frustrated or bored, I mean, marriages are the equivalent of cell phones. When a new one comes out, you want to get one. And essentially in this situation, I think what ends up happening is when things don't go well, you treat it just like a cell phone. Am I up for my contract to be renewed? If I don't want to renew it, I can go over to this other carrier. And another carrier would be the other person. Somebody new. I mean, if you were Sprint, you might want to go to AT&T. And after that doesn't work, you might go to T-Mobile. If that doesn't work, you might go to Verizon. I mean, that's just the honest truth. It's about you being personally happy now. It's not about anything else. Our society
Should your personal feelings be involved? I mean, once you get rid of the I and become we, then your person, that I should be out the window, right? Your personal feelings should be out the window.
It should in theory, but I think when you look at it, ultimately now, you know, people always talk about how the long-term effects of thinking we instead of I could potentially really impact a family structure. I mean, you do have to think about it in some capacity of different things. If it's not working out and you and this person that you're married to are just not working out, but you've got young lives in the picture, meaning children, I mean, do you just stick it out for the sake of sticking it out? Or do you say, you know what, hey, we are really not going to even be able to be cordial to one another. So, and for the sake of these young people to be able to say, you know what, yeah, mom and daddy got divorced, so they're no longer together, but there was never any violence in the home, there was not a lot of yelling in the home, there was, you know, never any just tension in the home. Sometimes you got to make that decision. I guess that's what you have to do. I mean, I can just speak personally for my situation. I know that the reason why my parents got divorced was because things got aggressive in the home. Things got crazy. Well, they got divorced 2 weeks after I was born. They were married for 5 years, but they got divorced 2 weeks after I was born. So I never grew up in that situation of the aggressiveness. Now, yeah, it would have been great if dad was there, did some things, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. But you know what? I'll take that all day overseeing the aggressiveness that could potentially play it out. Because that would have impacted me, and I would have thought that's how you treat women. I would have thought that's what women are supposed to do, supposed to take it like that. So, I mean, you have to just weigh it out. And I think ultimately at the end of the day, my mom just decided she couldn't do it anymore. She just couldn't do it. So she was out. Now, they were married for 5 years. But, hey, 2 weeks after I was born, it was a wrap.
Well, do you know what the root cause was? Did your mom ever tell you what the root cause was?
Yeah, he was physically violent.
But how did he become physically violent? Was it drinking? Alcohol, or was it
putting pieces together? That's what he saw growing up, because his parents did stick it out. And my grandfather, you know, they say he talked softly but carried lead fists.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he rolled. And he saw that. And my father and I, when we got a chance to talk about different things and his moments of really wanting to share information and be truthful, has, you know, shared different bits and pieces with me. But that's what he saw. All of his brothers are like that. And even his one sister is the same way, because they all saw that. They all saw that. And guess what? None of them, not one of them, are still married. They're all divorced.
Wow.
Not one of them. Same thing. And I think this is part of the reason why
my mom got out of it. On my mother's side, her parents stuck it out. And the same thing to be said about my mom's dad. And that's part of the reason why I think my mom was like, I'm not doing this. I witnessed this, and I'm not being a part of this. I'm not going through it. Because she got out. So in those situations, I think that ultimately, you know, it all depends on the circumstances. It's unfortunate that any of the circumstances exist. But if it's a situation where you're getting punched in your face or dragged around a place by the collar or the neck by somebody, yeah, you can't sit there. I mean, this ain't 1910, you know.
That's good.
You know, so, I mean, that situation, you might have to get out of it. But if it's just because you just aren't happy and it's like a fad and you changing people like you changing clothes just to stay relevant, that's horrible.
But that goes under that you don't satisfy me anymore. If you hit me, you ain't satisfying me. You making
Correct.
Me more wanting to get away.
Correct.
So that is the reason why, you know, you have to make that decision to live to not only live but leave. Or to stay in that situation, because for your mom's sake, it was not only about her own personal life, but it was about you.
Yep.
That she wants you to see her getting beat up.
You know, or as she put it to me later on in life, did I want you to provoke him and then you get beat up? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't there, but the positive thing about it is that she had enough foresight for after 5 years, 2 weeks into me being born, to say, and everything was done, and it was done. It was over with. It was done. She was out. But I didn't grow up in that situation. So I think ultimately, you know, in that, I mean, it allowed me not to grow up seeing something and thinking that this is the way or this is how women should do things or this is how men should act. I didn't see that. I just grew up with my mom, who loved me, cared for me, took care of me, guided me, you know, did all the things, gave me the discipline necessary for me to get to where I am today. That's it. But I didn't see all that additional stuff.
All right, good words, good words. Anybody else want to chime in? Well, I'm going to throw some questions out there, and I want to talk about them. And please be honest in your thought process of how you feel. And I'm going to start off with our normal questions, and I'm going to add on. You don't satisfy me anymore because you don't satisfy me with your finances.
What, not enough?
Yeah. There's some people who, because of their finances, they're ready to get out of their relationship because they can't get their finances together for some reason. Either that husband is not working, he's not being a head of household, he's not going to work, he's being lazy, got laid off, and he's just not finding another job, and the wife is doing all the work, or he's not paying the bills on time, which is frustrating to the wife. Because now she come home one day and the lights is off, gas is off, or something like that. Or she's the breadwinner, he's not bringing in enough money. Have y'all seen situations where marriages are broken up due to finance?
I think that's one of the bigger reasons. I think that could definitely be a handicap to a marriage. You know, when there's financial situations and the communication isn't there, or, you know, your husband or wife's got a gambling problem or a shopping problem, you know, what money they do have, they blow it before the household responsibilities are met. So, yeah, you know, I see that being a huge issue in marriages today. Or even the fact that, you know, sometimes, you know, things get tough and the money's not the same, you know, and, you know, you get laid off or whatever, and the spouse just can't handle that new adjustment, you know, so they bail.
And I brought this up because I tried to get my brother-in-law on the phone, but I don't know if he's able to get on the phone. But he was going through some financial issues with his wife, where he was at a position he wants to buy a home. But she doesn't want to buy a home. And they had a major conflict because as head of household, he was sick of renting, and he wanted to buy a home. He's gone and found a home. He's got the mortgage together. But she didn't want to put her name on it. She didn't want her money tied up with his money. They do everything separate. They even the taxes. They don't file jointly. They file married but separate.
What's the reason for that? Do you know?
To me, it's selfishness. But I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not in their relationship, so. But they have big problems when it comes down to money due to the fact that they want to do everything separately. And it's frustrating to him. So, I don't know. I mean, that's why I want to throw it out here. Is it something that we can tell him to do? I can go back to him and say, listen, try this or...
Well,
I don't know if anybody on the phone has had that situation with their finances.
Well, I think you have to go back, and that's why I ask, is that, you know, it was a point. Basically, she never was satisfied, you know, as far as the finances were concerned for whatever reason. And maybe she had some issues with other men in the past or with him in the past, you know, that we don't know. And, you know, so it seems like that it's always been a point of contention because it was never any level of satisfaction there, you know, enough for her to, you know, like you said, you know, come jointly together and buy a home. I mean, that's not a solo venture. I mean, you got to, you know, talk to the wife and you got to, you know, get that squared away. So it's not something you could do on your own.
Yeah, yeah. I agree 100%. Well, what about you being satisfied with your financial bringing home? Because a lot of people, and they go to work, they make great money, but they don't see the money going anywhere, which is bringing satisfying results in their home. If you're making all this money, but you don't see it going anywhere, you see it going through all your bills, and then at the end of the day, you can't enjoy it with your wife. Isn't that dissatisfying to the relationship?
Yeah, and I think it goes back to, you know, the old adage, it's not how much you make, it's how much you spend. You know, and I think that it can be dissatisfying if, you know, one party is spending a little more, you know, and maybe there's some short and long-term goals that aren't reached because of the spending. But, you know, I think that's just one of those things where, you know, you have to communicate, you know, about, you know, where the holes are and try to plug them. And otherwise you can continue to be dissatisfied, you know, as it relates to, you know, the finances. And, you know, I'll speak to me as an example. You know, I make decent money, but I'm not pleased with our level of spending, at least as of late. But at the same time, you know, I like to vacation. You know, I like to do all that kind of stuff. So it's one of those things where I would like to have, you know, savings, you know, set aside and budget for it and, you know, just do it like that. So it's kind of a catch-22 is where I want to, you know, do these things, but I ain't really got the money at the time to do it. You know, I still make it work, you know, thankfully, but... You know, I'm not comfortable with, you know, with the way that our spending gets, you know, and thankfully we're able to work it out by the end of the month, next month or whatever, but I would just rather it be, you know, a little bit different. And, I mean, it's not a big problem, you know, but it is something that is of concern, I guess, I would say.
Understood, but can I add on to that? Can I ask this question?
Sure.
Wasn't it also dissatisfying to you, Rodney, when knowing that you had that situation where you wanted to do things and you were very cautious about where your money is spent and everything? And then we talked about this a couple weeks ago when you brought it up, where now your wife is wanting another child. You know, she wants to roll that dice for that boy.
Yep.
And wasn't that a dissatisfying conversation for a while?
Oh, absolutely. Because to this day, I still don't have the money, you know, for another child. So I'm stepping out on faith. That's all it is. Because, you know, I can't afford a third child. I mean, I can, as we talked about a few weeks ago, some activities would have to be cut. Some luxuries, some modern-day luxuries would have to be cut. But, you know, again, you know, we decided, and you know, to go forward. And it was, you know, for a long time, it was just like, I can't, you know, I can't go that route. It's too uncomfortable for me to be in that situation where I don't, you know, I'm not comfortable with how, you know, we're going to finance, you know, this third child. And, for a while, it was very uncomfortable. It was very dissatisfying, and but you know, again, I've come to the realization I had to just step out there, and now I ain't worried about it. You know, it is what it is. It's you know, not worried about it.
Ooh. Anybody else had a situation where finances were dissatisfying them with their spouse? But cool. Well, what about your spouse's job? For your spouse's job has been a conflict in the family. And, you know, you've had arguments, and you end up at the end of the day pulling a Tony and saying, if you don't leave this job or, you know, start beginning to look for something else, then we're going to have problems. And the reason is because I said so.
And that was my issue. And that's just tying back to the whole third child, is because my wife has a job, but she was doing these other responsibilities that require a lot of time. And we already have two small children and activities, and, you know, I'm not going to go into all that because y'all know the drill. But, you know, literally she's like, well, I want another child. And it's like, well, you need to make some time, you know, for me, you know, it wasn't enough room for another child to come into the mix. And, you know, and it was absolutely her job. It wasn't her job. It was the extracurricular activities that she was doing that were not requirements. You know, I wouldn't say she volunteered for the extra, you know, responsibilities, but, you know, when they ask her, you know, she kind of reluctantly, you know, took it, you know, for the reason that maybe it wasn't anybody else that was around that was qualified or could do the job, you know, whatever, and they tapped her for a reason. I realized all that, but at the same time, you know, I thought that, you know, she should, since it wasn't a job requirement, and it's not, she's a teacher, so it's not anything in the private sector where it's going to affect her long term, you know, especially since she's not wanting to be an administrator or anything like that, you know, at this stage in her career. She's comfortable with just teaching in the classroom. That other stuff wasn't, she wasn't looking at that to boost her career or to get any notches on her belt. You know, so I thought it wasn't really that much a priority, you know, to do these extra volunteer stuff that required more time and energy. And, you know, it was frustrating, you know, but now, you know, all of that is, you know, 3 years later, because she's been at this school, you know, for 3 years, and all of her responsibilities, effective, you know, when they got out this June, you know, are gone. So she's only going to be teaching, which is great, you know, because that extra stuff was getting in the way of our relationship, and especially was going to be a problem if we had another child running around.
Because for me, I mean, I'm putting my business out there a little bit. I'm in the consulting field, and one of the reasons why I moved to D.C., and I've worked in the public sector which is majority local, state, or federal government since I've been out of school. Well, the reason why I wanted to pick that in the consultant field is because usually you're stationary. Once you get into a position, 5 years, 4 years, whatever the contract is, you're stationary right there. You don't have to do a lot of travel. Most travel you probably do is maybe 25%. Go to another site here for a meeting or so and then come back. Well, now is at the point now where with the government, the way it is, and it's going through this budget changes and we're trying to get the debt ceiling, my contract is ending. Now I have to look at jobs outside of the public sector, maybe in the commercial sector. And with that said, every job that's out there is traveling. It has, you know, 75, 50%, 100% travel. Now, that would change the whole routine that we have had set up for the years that we've stayed here in Waldorf, Maryland. But the thing is now that is going to make my wife, even though she says, no, if you got to travel, go travel. But I already know she's just saying that, you know, just to say, I understand your position. You got to do what you got to do. But I also understand the flip side of that of, you know, hey, maybe you need to start doing something else or finding a different field. Because I don't want you to leave me here by myself to take care of these kids. That is going to come, that's going to bring a burden, not at the beginning, but probably later on in the relationship.
How is that going to work out with your wife being on? Isn't she on like a swing shift or a schedule or something?
Yeah, she's on the second shift. And when school starts, you know, then there's no protector for the kids at home. If I'm at work and she's at work and I'm out of town, if something jump off, you know, it's going to take me hours to get back if I'm out of town.
Well, not even if anything jump off, just somebody being at home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that it comes down to choosing the field you pick. And consulting, usually consultants, all they do is, unless you have your own business, where you can dictate and tell everybody else to do, go travel and do all this stuff, that's what you end up doing. And so now reality is starting to kick in. And it, to me, it makes me more dissatisfied by going to work because now I have this burden of finding a job that's right for the family and not right for me. There's a difference.
There is a difference.
Has anybody else ever ran into that where job hasn't been right for the family? But it goes back to who somebody said it earlier, personal happiness.
I think P said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think in your situation, you have to, I mean, you really, your wife don't have a 9-to-5. So, I mean, you really, you can't be gone 75, 100% of the time unless you're making that cake, making enough cake, you can hire you a nanny or something, you know, and, you know, do it that way. You don't have to worry about, and you may literally, you know, I say that in jest, but you may literally have to do something like that with your wife's schedule the way it is. And if you take a job that's 50, 75, or 80, 90% travel, I mean, it just may not be anybody there to fill in those gaps. And it can't be some teenager on your block. I mean, you got to have somebody that's responsible and is qualified. You know, you may actually have to look into an au pair or something, or somebody part-time at least, you know, to come in and maybe, you know, get a snack or start dinner or start homework.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you may get a raise, you know, with this new venture, even though you'll be, you know, and I would expect so if you're traveling a lot more, but it won't really be a raise because you'll be paying somebody to help raise your kids, at least temporarily, you know, until they get of age where they can, you know, come home and you know, do things on their own, you know, but they're not at that age right now where they can do all that and manage themselves. So you're going to need somebody there, at least temporarily, to fill in those gaps.
All right. Got one for you. You don't satisfy me anymore. But you know what? Masturbation doesn't satisfy me either. Did y'all understand that question? You know where we get ready to go, right?
Wow.
You know the street we get ready to go under.
Yeah, you dropped that right in there. They weren't expecting that, Mr. Host.
No, no, no. And I didn't even throw a monkey wrench in there. It's 9:45, and I'm going down the street.
Burn them up. Burn them up.
I mean, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I mean, listen. We all have this tremendous wife. We saw her when we first saw her. We were sexually attracted to her. We wanted them all the time. We're 5 years, some of us are 5 years plus in the marriage. And the honeymoon stage has gone away. You got kids now, you got responsibilities, you got work, taxes, bills, church, everything outside the home. And so you barely get what you need inside. Because you got to, as what we said in the past, you got to schedule it. So the times where you want to, you might slip in a little masturbation here and there. So, but you get sick of that. So what do? Now you can't, satisfying yourself is not even good anymore in a relationship. What do?
I think that's never any good. You got to see, I mean, you got to, and the P's going to hate me for this. Some other brothers might too, but you got to schedule it. You have to schedule it if it's gotten to the point, you know, where it's,
But who schedules love, man? Come on, man. Let's be honest. Who schedules, like, all right, pull out your laptop and pull out your calendar.
Pull out the BB.
Right here on this time is when I'm free, you free, we getting it in right then.
Yeah, you know I'm unavailable on Tuesdays, 4-11, so, No, but I mean, really, I think that to your question, Mr. Host, you're masturbating, and of course that doesn't satisfy you like, you know, getting down with your wife, period. So that's why I say you might need to put it on your calendar so you're not sitting there, you know, with the lotion in the bathroom, whatever, you know, whatever you do, you know, you can say, hey, you know, what does it look like? You know, you ain't got to necessarily pull out the calendar, you know, but I mean, just kind of, you know, kind of throw it out there as a thought, you know, because, you know, with women, they got to get, their thoughts got to be together, you know, everything got to be right, you know, so just kind of get them thinking down that road. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying Wednesday at 9:30, you know, we're going to cut the TV off and put, you know, the kids better in, be in bed and all. I'm not saying it to that level, but y'all get what I'm saying.
Oh, I don't.
I knew you wouldn't.
The planning is horrible, man. Oh, my.
But in the context of the host question, you are to the point where you're not getting it in, you're masturbating. That's what the host just asked, and that is, of course, not satisfying you as your wife would. So, what do you do?
Nothing.
Nothing? Come on.
Yeah, I'm not. That planning crap, that's just, I don't know about that. What I do is probably sulk and complain and whine until I get what I want. I would be honest with you, because that planning, that's just, it doesn't seem natural. It's like, because even when you think back to when you were even dating this person, yeah, you planned the date, but
right,
you didn't plan all the stuff that happened on the date, around the date, whether you got to a base or didn't get to a base, or if you went all, you didn't plan any of that. You planned the date. You planned the activity. But what you're talking about now with, you know, being married is like, you're talking about planning it all out and mapping it out and trying to create this perfect scenario for her mind state and her mental capacity to be like, man, you didn't do all that even when you were dating. So it's like, it got more complex? It got crazier? The most basic thing between a man and a woman, it got more complex?
Hey.
And I mean, in theory, yes, I get it. I'm not stupid. Saying that, yes, it did get more complex. But that just, in my mind, it doesn't make sense. You all have heard me say it before. I feel like we give them too many outs. I just feel like...
I agree, man. I agree to 100% because listen to the question. I mean, really listen to it and
right.
Think about it, because half of our problem as married men and head of household is, just like somebody said earlier in the conversation, it's easier to get out. That girl at work said, I would do it for you, what you want. Holler at me in the break room or whatever. You know, and now you're scheduling outside of the home. On a wifey, you know, Wednesday, you know, Tuesday I'm on the call, and Wednesdays I got a late meeting. But that late meeting is with this girl from work.
My work wife.
Right. Because you get to a point where you're even sick of masturbating. It's not enough for you.
Yeah,
you're sick
right.
of begging, and you're sick of masturbating. So the only other thing, option you have is outside of the home.
Yeah.
How do we fix that? So we are satisfied inside the home.
I told
it's
him
honest communication. I mean, you got to be up front. You got to talk about it and really being able to have a true dialogue about it. Because as was pointed out, I will give Rodney this. Everything's got to line up. Emotionally, they got to be into it, and these things got to be done. So you got to figure out what that is in order to make sure that the scale is as balanced as possible for there to be mutual shared outcomes, and everyone walks away with what it is that they need respectively. But I don't know if you need to plan it. I think you need to talk. I would hope in a perfect world, and we know this world is not perfect, you should just be able to talk about it, because that's what you sign up for. It's like, look, hey, when I said to you that I'm going to marry you, it means that I'm coming to you for everything. Nobody else. You going to fulfill that. And you accept that role. You take that role on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the honest truth. I don't understand how it gets twisted some way. To me, that's where I get a little frustrated with it. It's like, I stand up there, I'm looking you in your face, I'm standing before God and all these people, and I'm talking to you, and I'm signing up. It's like enlisting in the military. You can't, I mean, you can go AWOL if you want to, but they're going to arrest you.
Right.
So it's no different than this. It's like, I'm standing there, and I'm telling you, I'm on board. Enlist me. I'm putting away all these other prospects. You know, I'm a fisherman. I no longer need my boat because I'm done fishing. You know, and you're just hoping that this person understands that, and you would hope that the talking is all you would need. And I don't know. It's like, that's what I said for me. If it's not happening, man, then I'm not going to keep. That's too much work. It might happen for a while, but after a while, I'm like, come on, man. This is just stupid. This is just stupid.
It's true. It's true, man. I don't know how true, but I've seen it outside of the home to the point where you want to say something, but you don't want to get in their business. Like, come on, man. You know, that's not fair to the folks you got at home. I don't know, you know, what's happening in your household, but that's just not fair. It has to be something you can do to fix that situation. And a lot of us see the, you know, this young girl who says, I would do it for you. And once they say, I'd do it for you, then then that's where they go. So here's the next question. And, yes, this is the 10 o'clock monkey wrench. And it goes, you don't satisfy me anymore. But you know what? I love porn so much that porn doesn't even satisfy me either. When we moved to porn, when we have porn in the house, we got it on the internet, and that is satisfying you more than your wife is satisfied. Is that an issue?
Huge issue.
Huh?
That's a huge issue.
Yeah, because you just crushing computers left and right.
Yeah.
You want a first name at Best Buy.
Yeah, that's a huge issue right there, boss.
I mean, speak on it, man. Speak on it.
I'm just saying, man. You know, we get to the point where... When you get to the point where you're feeling more for that video joint than your own spouse, something is really wrong.
Listen,
something
I went
wrong.
Back and listened to one of our, we had a pornography call. And if you haven't heard it, it's still on, it's on our website, and it is on TalkShoe.com. So if you go on our TalkShoe page, you can go and find it, and you can hear the whole conversation. But there was one gentleman on there says that his sex life with his wife was just so routine that when they would finish, he would go back downstairs and look at porn to become satisfied.
Mm.
I mean, that's how much he was addicted to porn.
Yeah, I think that is more so addictive than anything else.
But it takes away from the vibe you have with your wife. When you're not thinking about your wife during sex, that you're thinking about
a fake
booty Judy getting smacked around on camera.
Yeah. You thinking about Janet Jackman.
She was dangerous.
She was lethal.
I don't even know who that is.
Don't look up. That's all I'm going to say.
No.
You had your hook. But sexuality, inside and outside the home, it really affects how the home feels. Because after a while, if you continue to look at pornography, you're going to want to start wanting your wife to do some of these things.
Yeah.
Is that not the truth? You know she can't throw her leg up there on the counter and hold a slit while you... Come on, man.
I think we come into the marriage wanting that. I don't think that's anything new, like a new discovery. Okay, now I want my wife to do this. I think somebody that's watching porn now has, in their marriage, has been watching porn before their marriage.
Yeah.
And it's been an outlet. It's always been an outlet for them. So we're not new to these crazy stuff that we're seeing on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But in our conversations, do we ask our wife to do some of these things that these ladies are doing in porn?
Is that a conversation you have?
I don't even know if it's a conversation. You just accidentally push your leg too far.
Yeah.
It's like you pause and be like, look, see that right there? Let me rewind. Let me show you. I don't think that's a conversation that you have.
I mean, somebody on here lying, man.
Well, this is what I think it goes back to. It goes back to what I said earlier. You know, in a situation like that where a person might be looking or viewing that porn to that capacity, is that they seriously are going back to, I got to take care of me.
And I'm not going to lie to you. You all heard me say it on the phone many times. It's the whole theory of self-preservation and taking care of yourself. At the most basic bottom line factor of the situation, you got to take care of you. In a situation where your spouse might not be doing it, you're going to go a couple different ways. You're going to do nothing and just sit there and grin and bear it and be miserable. You're going to find some jump off somewhere and try to figure out how you're going to not get yourself caught. Or you're going to dabble in some pornography or some type of strip club, which is still pornography in some with regards to that venue. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You're going to do something. It's going to be one of the three. But ultimately, you're going to take it into your own hands, and that's the same thing that we were talking about earlier. With a person not being satisfied, at this day and time, it's about individuality. If you're not happy, then fix it. It's on you because it's no different than anything else in life when you think about it. It's unfortunate, but that's really where the world is going to with how they view things. If you're not happy with your current situation, the American way is you pull up your bootstraps and you create a situation. You make it work. Now, that's hoping that you have boots to even pull straps off.
That's the whole point.
That's the,
I don't
that's
think
the
a lot
point.
Of men
I mean,
have
what...
to strap up in the home. I don't think men are man enough to go to their wife and say, you got to tighten up your game. You're not, you know, I'm not being satisfied.
Well, I don't think that men are, it's not they're not man enough to do that. I just think that some men are smart enough to know that once they say that. Because here's the thing, we're all smart on this call. When you say something like that, you got to be prepared what comes back your way. And what I mean by that is your wife is then going to probably outline everything that you ain't doing. You got to be prepared for that. So I think some men basically, you know what, hey, they take the easy way out, which is I'm going to go self-fulfill my own things and blah, 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 and do whatever I need to do instead of having that conversation. Because it's really hard for you to have that conversation with some people because you know then when you say, look, I'm not being pleased in the bedroom and you're not doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, she's going to be like, okay, well, here are one or two, three, four, maybe 15 things that you're not doing.
Uh-oh.
Which, I pointed out many times on this call, get their engines revved up to even want to do that.
I might as well just check this question right off because that's my next question. When your wife comes to you and says, I'm not satisfied in the bedroom, that, you know, I'm sick of you rushing, you know, and then you asking me, did I get mine? And you know I didn't, but I have to fake it because I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Wow.
You better tell that brother to get a mental image. You get a mental image of something, you just focus in on that.
Mm-mm-mm.
Panda bear surfboarding in the Bahama. Anything, just random.
Well, I have this one serum that works. You get your vodka and you mix it with something and go to work. But I'm not an alcohol drinker. But if you need it, vodka is the way to go.
Gin will treat you right too. That's a different call.
But I'm not. But this is the things that is not talked about in marriages. It is when both the man and the wife are unable to communicate their thoughts sexually to each other because they are scared to hurt each other's feelings. So they go in both faking satisfaction, and nobody's getting satisfied. And then, you know, you acting like you sleep when you're like, man, darn, I didn't, you know, that was not fun.
Yeah.
Have we ever ran into that situation? Where you glad you had sex with your wife, but you really was like, darn, I could have held off on that if that's all I'm going to get for tonight.
That's why I just pass it up, but like, I'm good. I'm good. I'm.
You don't want that, huh?
No, I'm serious. If it's times where I'd be like, I'm good. I'm straight. Oh, I mean,
it happens, man. It happens. It's happened to me. I know it's happened to somebody else.
I mean, you better off just not even going down that road. Because here's the thing. It's not, I compare it to going out to get something to eat. You knew what your staple was at the restaurant. You knew what it was. But you decided to venture out. The waiter or waitress talked you into the special. And you decided, you know what? Yeah, all right, I'll go ahead and give it a shot. And then it's the worst thing you've ever eaten in your life. And all you had to do was just go with the staple. It wasn't that hard. So in my mind, I'm not trying to venture out and try something new or just do something to make it work or add that. My uncle told me a long time ago, get what you want the first time in anything in life. Don't settle, because when you settle, it's never going to be what you originally wanted to be. If you want the iPad 64 gigs with the Wi-Fi 3G, then get that. Don't get the basic Wi-Fi, you know, 32 gigs minus the 3G. That's not what you wanted. Just because, oh, I'm going to save me $129. No! Get what you wanted.
But isn't that the issues men and women have anyway? Is men get what they want, regardless of cost?
Here's the thing, though. I don't necessarily know if we always get what we want, because at the end of the day, we might not say it in the moment, but later we'll be like, yeah, that wasn't what I wanted. That wasn't what I wanted. I mean, and that, I can think of a couple of times myself, just personally, be like, yeah, that wasn't what I wanted. What I wanted was a connection. What I wanted was a serious, intimate moment with my spouse, and I wanted us to be on the same page, and I wanted to be, you know, passionate.
Passionate.
Yeah, I don't want crap. I mean, and I think that for whatever reason, sometimes women think that that's not even in our vocabulary, passion and really being intimate and a connection, but it is. And the fact of it is that we just want that same level of passion and intimacy and connection that we had when you was giving us that passion, intimacy, and connection when we first met you. When the first 3 years of marriage and how many other times or whatever, just the same thing. It doesn't have to be every time, because that's just virtually impossible. But, man, if we, you know, 2 out of 4 times, can we get 50%?
So
I mean,
it comes down to expectations.
I don't know.
So it comes down to expectations.
Yeah, but you got to talk that out. I mean, and that's, we've talked about that many times. You got to talk that out. We can talk about everything else, finances, college funds, mortgage, car notes, what we going to eat. I mean, that stupid conversation happens every day.
Every day.
But you can't sit there and talk about, hey, what we going to go up here and really connect on in this. And another thing is, it doesn't always have to be in the darn bedroom. Good God, can it be somewhere else? Goodness, I mean, anywhere. Anywhere.
Man, you know you got kids. You got to stay in the bedroom with the door locked.
They go to sleep.
Yeah. You can sleep down in the basement. Lock the basement door.
This is my house. They should be staying in it.
Oh, man. But, I mean, have you communicated that?
That's what I'm saying. You got to talk it out. Yeah, I mean, you got to communicate it. But it's like, it's one of those things, too, where it can't be just, you know, we talk about it in this month or this time, we got it right. But then we slip back into our same little norms, and I'm guilty of that too. You know, but it's got to be better than that. It's not something where, oh, it's an issue, let's talk about it. And then for that time, it's great. But then it's really easy to get back into your routine, and, I mean, who likes that? And that's the routines can kill things. I understand it's relevant for stuff surrounding, you know, paying your mortgage and going to your job and, you know, hygiene. That's a routine. You need that. But when you're talking about stuff surrounding really being engaged in a marriage, I mean, you got to shake it up. You got to keep it fresh. You got to keep things new. And being able to talk about it and being open-minded, I mean, we all know growing up that this life was not going to get any easier. We were only going to take on more responsibilities and things, and it was going to get harder. That's just, I don't understand how we didn't know that. Or how people can say, oh, you know, I'm just so exhausted and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's life. I mean, every phase
we hold it in. I think we hold it in to the point where when it's time to say something, we don't know how to say it. It's going to come out wrong.
I just don't understand how you can't talk. Because you talk to your spouse to even get an opportunity to be with your spouse, to spend time with your spouse. So the opportunity to, well, the lack of taking opportunities to address concerns to me, just it doesn't add up. It just doesn't make sense. And I know it happens, but it just doesn't even seem right. It's like you were more awkward when you first started trying to talk to your wife, girlfriend, or whomever. You were more awkward then than when you actually married to them. But the fact is that because there is no communication at certain points, it does sometimes get crazy where you can honestly be in a situation. I've talked to a couple of my boys. They're like, I don't even know how to talk to her. How you don't know how to talk to your wife that you've been married to for 8 years?
Oh, man.
Busy. You don't know how to talk to her. I'm nervous to even tell her I love her.
The only
why are you nervous about that? I mean, what are you nervous about?
The only thing that I can think of is if your wife is undeceptive when you have conversations, meaning that your conversations always start into an argument or she's bringing something back up. So those type of guys who are having those type of arguments, they feel that every time they're going to speak on something, it's going to bring something else up, and so they just don't say anything. I don't know if that's happened to anybody on this call with their wives, but all conversations end up in an argument. And so men be quiet because they are sick of it, you know. They don't want to get in an argument, so they just don't say anything.
I'm going to tell you what the thing that I see happen, and I think somebody mentioned it earlier, when you try to have that conversation, you talk about the things that you like that aren't happening, then you get the well, you're not doing this, and you're not doing that. You get it thrown back in your face, the things that you're not doing.
Yep.
At some point, just listen to me. You know what I mean? At some point, just be quiet and listen and say, I hear you, I'll try to be better. Period. That's all we want sometimes. Just listen and say, I hear you, I'll try to be better. Instead of making it a discussion, a tug of war, you know, keeping score kind of thing, a scorecard. It can't always be a scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. I said that before. Men like to be validated too.
Yeah, and then you get drained out because it's like, so then the next time you're like, okay, well, I already know how this conversation is going to end, so why even bother having it?
Yep.
And you just do without.
Yep.
And then you get stressed because you want it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest. Men want it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're walking around heavy.
Yeah, and then you start thinking, well, let me see if I can watch somebody else do it on the internet, then I'm okay.
But guess what? Not only that, but you ever hear of like people like come out of jail? They've been in jail for like 20 years, and they get out, and then they do something just to get back in because they can't make it outside in society.
Mm-hmm. Happens all the time. I heard a guy on the train talking. He had he just got out. He's going to a job interview, and he hopes he get it because he's nervous that if he don't, he's going to go back and do the exact same thing. That's going to put him back in jail.
Yeah. Well, not that, you know, but the point that I'm making is when your relationship is sour.
You're breaking up. Tom.
Do you hear me now? Hello?
Still breaking up. Now I can hear you.
When you're in a relationship that's sour and you feel as though you're intentionally being neglected in those areas, some people will go out and cheat. But when they cheat, it'll be careless to the point where they hope they get caught.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like they hope their wife finds out that somebody else wants them, that somebody else is willing to do the things that she won't do. You know what I mean? Like you're not putting their cell phone... You know, just not covering all their tracks when they cheat. Just careless with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's unfortunate.
That's the only way they can communicate is by,
you know,
I mean, some guys, I mean, we all have talked about it on this phone. It's part of our communication is action.
Uh-huh.
And if we try to communicate just the things that we want and you're still not listening, well, the only thing a guy thinks of is, well, I guess I have to show you.
Uh-huh.
And the only way that they know how to show you is if you're not going to do it is let somebody else do it.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you know, I think that's just horrible if that's really what women resort to. If they're so frustrated with things. And I know that it happens probably more times than not. But then they're going to, it's like they're your oxygen. They're the lungs in your body, and they decide that purposely they're not going to allow breaths to come through in order to keep you alive. Do you know how crazy that is? So, again, I stand up there and I agree that I'm selling my boat. I'm no longer going fish because I've caught the fish and I'm ready to eat for a lifetime from this one fish. And you are supposed to supply me. But then you cut off you my distributor, you cut me off. You didn't connect. And you cut me off? What am I supposed to do? I mean, you purposely cut me off. What am I supposed to do? That makes no sense. And it's a dangerous game because then at the end of the day, who comes out looking like the prick? The guy. Because, oh, you cheated on her, you did this, you went out there and blah, 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 and what did you do? No, no, no. What did she do? If I was talking to her, if I was engaging her, if I was trying to communicate with her, if I was trying to be validated and couldn't get validation, if I was doing all this stuff, because that happens a lot, and I don't think it gets played out that we get a chance to see that, oh, you know what? Actually, and I'm not trying to say who, there's always the domino that gets the dominoes in motion.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's right or wrong. There's always that first domino. So all I'm saying is that in different situations, it would just be valid. It would be validated for somebody to be like, you know what? Hey, I got to breathe, so I got to go get me a new set of lungs.
Yeah.
I can't sit here and hope that this person decides that this day they're gonna contract and allow air to come in, and then this day they not. I got to go get some lungs. I've tried as much as I can, but wow! And you purposely doing this? This is what you're gonna do because you know. You know that this is what, in the basic premise of humankind, that's what men need, want, desire. I mean, I'm just going to keep saying it, want. And you're going to do that on purpose? That doesn't even make sense. I mean, the only thing that I can think of, you know, that a man could do maybe to that regard with a woman is just not be present and not be engaged or maybe not be there financially. Even with that, it's like a woman always, if things aren't going right, probably go to a sibling or go to a parent or whatever. But it's like for a guy, it's like, man, if I stand up there and I'm legit and I'm doing it right and you cut me off like that for whatever reason, and then we can't ever really talk about stuff like someone said earlier because it turns into an argument for whatever reason, that's crazy. That's crazy, man. I don't know, because in life, with anything else, you wouldn't stand for it. You would figure out what you need to do, and you would make moves. But
yeah.
You're not supposed to do that if a person, you're supposed to sit there and grin and bear it and just, you know, just keep working through it or something. I don't know. It makes no sense.
It happens. I mean, we talked about at the beginning where you know, we were just, you know, our wives, our mothers, were dissatisfied with our fathers due to the fact that they would do something to them. You know, they would abuse them, or Papa was a Rolling Stone, or anything like that. And it's because maybe they need to look at, you know, is it because they need to look at themselves in the mirror and see what they have done, or is it the man's way of communicating? We gotta fix that. I mean, what is the communication that we're supposed to, you know, have out there to say? I mean, are we saying it wrong? I mean, what is it? What is it that the women are not getting?
I don't know. I just know that, you know, as a guy, you'll come and try something at least twice, maybe in three times. But after that, you just like, you know what? Bump it.
And going back to being frustrated.
Yeah, it just becomes a certain situation where you just can't. You keep coming back in, keep trying to reformulate, keep trying to get this. It's almost like, I don't know if anybody ever had a professor or a parent or a coach that they would keep just riding you and working. You keep going back to the drawing board trying to figure out how to do it, and it's never right. That's annoying. Because like we talked about last week, at a certain point, it's no longer positive. It's no longer you reworking it and getting stronger. It's becoming detrimental. It's becoming a negative impacting factor with regards to who you are as a person and definitely with how you approach the relationship or marriage. It's not a positive. So you tell me, it's like a height you can never reach. You tell me there's three things wrong. So I fix those three things. Back and you'd be like, well, actually, there were another two. I just didn't tell you about those. So then I knocked those two out. Along with the previous three, so now that's five. So now I'm doing five things, but then you say, well, actually, there was one other thing. What? You just keep going before you know it. You done done 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 100 things.
And what has she done?
And, well, that's a $66 question. The only thing we know is she knows how to add and keep adding on more things you got to climb this ladder for.
After a while, that's going to get frustrating. You're going to be like, duh.
That's why you say, because
I ain't going to do nothing else. This is
right. You just say, bump it, man. I'm not doing this anymore. And that's frustrating. And for a while, you'll be calm. You'll be content. I remember a long time ago, my man said, I don't even know if he's on the call or still listens to the call. He said he did a bid like a year and a half in the basement, you know, and all that stuff. I'm going to be honest with you. It was, a year and a half in the basement, I'd have to break out that jail. I'm not going to lie. somebody said on the call, I just looked at their face saying, I'm going out tonight to get some booty. I'm sorry. I remember somebody said that. And you might have to take that, you just might have to take that approach. Because when you give it, when you're trying and you're communicating, and sometimes here's the thing, and it's not about even communicating correctly. It's just the fact that you're even trying. You're trying something, and you're getting nowhere? I mean, that's rough. Or if you always feel like you got to be jumping through hoops and hurdles and what? I mean, come on, man. I mean,
that's
not
more
time
than anything else is when you're at your own home. You're in your own home, and you got to jump through hoops and hurdles.
Yeah, that's
come on, man. Your home is supposed to be your relaxation, supposed to be your space, your place of peace.
And not even home. You in your own marriage and you jumping through hurdles. That don't make sense. Your marriage is supposed to be your place of peace. I ain't worried about the home because you can have a home, not have a home, but the marriage should be anywhere you go. So if I'm uncomfortable in my marriage, that's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense.
Anybody else want to comment? Well,
my question is, how did you get to that point? And that's probably the $64 million question.
Yeah.
So how does it get to the point where you have to earn intimacy with your spouse?
Oh, my goodness.
When before it was just given. Before it was a given. This is what we just like Peyton said, the simplest thing between a man and a woman, it was simple, becomes a chore, a task, an assignment, a mission, a goal, a sense of purpose, all these things. You know,
I think it's the evolution of expectations. We don't come back to the table and talk about expectations from, I put it as simple, from day to day, let alone month to month or year to year, because things change. And when expectations, I mean, I remember when, you know, we had conversations about having a child, but I remember when we were 8 months pregnant and we were sitting there, a crazy conversation came up about expectations about, you know, godparents, and if something happened and we were, you know, if something happened, you know, what would we do with godparents? I don't know. I don't even remember what it was. But the fact is that the expectations have evolved. I mean, things have changed. You know, some of the things have been discussed, but some things hadn't. And even the things that have been discussed, you still revisit it. Because, again, you do that with anything else in your life. You continue to revisit your resume and update it. You continue to revisit your portfolio and update it. You continue to revisit your allocations with regards to your savings and update it. And you do it all the time. All the time. You look at your bank statements, and you look at things to make sure the stuff is updated. You continue to pay attention, but we don't do any of that when it comes to simple expectations in a marriage. You know, what do I expect for our children to be doing between the ages of 4 to 6 and then between the ages of 6 to 8 with regards to the educational component? What do I expect them to be doing? What do I expect for you to be doing between, I don't know, or us in our marriage between the ages of 30 and 40 and between 25 and 30, you know, if we were married that young, what were the things that we should be doing? Are we traveling? Are we not traveling? Are we saving? Are we not saving? Are we looking to put away stuff for our financial future and retire by this time? Are we not? We do it in everything else. We don't do it with this. And when it comes down to the intimacy piece, the reason why I think we get to this is because we don't talk about what our expectations are.
And
I mean, we can buy a million little books and read about and this is not Rod, I'm not coming at you on this. I'm just saying that it's about love languages. We can do all that. But it doesn't matter if we don't talk about what our expectations are from year to year, day to day, month to month.
I think it's simpler than that, bro. And I think you missed the biggest piece is that, you know, back to T-Hawk's question, how does it get that way? The novelty wears off. You know, when you first meet somebody, you know, you get the tingles, and that's from the love languages, by the way. But, I mean, you get the tingles, and, you know, it's exciting. And then they say the tingles last anywhere, you know, from the time you meet to a maximum of 2 years. So after 2 years, after you meet that person, it's like, all right, you know, what are we doing today? I mean, it's like, all right, you picking up the kids, you know, you get the light bill. I mean, it's just, you know, the tingles are gone, so you have to do other things, you know, to bring that back, but it's never going to be the same, you know, like you just met that person, because when you first met her, you know you wanted to spend every moment with her. You know, I remember talking to my wife when we first met, you know, we talked on the phone for hours, you know, hours, and my wife despises talking on the phone, you know, but just meeting her and just, you know, just talking about just a wide range of topics and subjects, we talked just into the moonlight. You know, but now, you know, she called me like, yo, you need to pick up the kid or, you know, can you get some milk? All right, holler at you. I mean, it's I mean, it's nothing like that anymore.
Trying to get off the phone because you know you get ready to be tasked or something.
Yeah, and again, it's not like the conversations we have now, it's not, hey, I just want to talk to you. You know, you got a few minutes at the job. It's just like, all right, what do you want? You know, if it's a phone conversation. But I think, you know, back to T-Hawk's point, the novelty is worn off. You know, and the brother was talking about bank statements and all this kind of stuff. Your bank account, the novelty, it was never really anything about your bank. It's just like, all right, I got a checking account. I mean, it was never anything. It may have been some, you know, exciting for some of y'all. But, I mean, it never really had that luster, you know, like your girl. You know, I mean, it never was really on that level. So, I mean, your bank account 10 years later is still your same old bank account, you know, with the same old checks.
Man.
I mean, it's nothing, you know.
I got to interrupt you. I have to interrupt you right now because I don't want you to go too far past what you said.
All right.
And what you just said is the point that I've been trying to make for 2 years on these calls. 2 years straight.
You
now,
baiting both.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Do you like talking on the phone to your wife?
It's an easy question. You're overthinking it.
I mean, I'm not overthinking. I like talking to my wife, period. So I guess that question, you know, the answer to that question would be yes. I just like talking to her when she's sitting beside me or on the phone. It doesn't matter.
I got it, though. Well, back then, you enjoyed the all night till the sun come up talking on the phone to your wife. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today you know that she don't like talking on the phone.
Yep.
She's not a phone person. Okay. So the point that I'm like, and not to single you out, I'm going to have to single you out right quick, only because you made this statement. But believe me, it's not only in your house. It's in a lot of houses.
Sure.
Is it safe to say she did something in the beginning that she does not normally like to do, but she did it because she had a sense of purpose?
A purpose behind it.
Oh, man. That's what I'm talking about. I've been saying it for 2 years. Sometimes we think, okay, the reason why they don't do it anymore, guess what? They never liked to do it in the beginning.
Yeah.
They just let us believe, yeah, well, yeah, I like this, I'm down with this, because they hear us talking, they know what we like, so, okay, they're going to roll with it. Bingo, they got a nice
hat.
Now you got the ring, you got the ring, you got the
paper.
I don't really like that. I don't really like that. Got him. I don't really like talking on the phone.
Now you got to scale back.
Now you got to scale back and be like, oh, she don't really like talking on the phone. And now you accept it. Right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But guess what? You would not have accepted it in the dating stage.
You probably wouldn't have, because you wanted the moonlight.
Yeah, you wouldn't have gone with that in the dating stage.
They know that.
You really don't want to go for it right now, but however.
They do know that, though. They do know that. They play the game better than us.
Hey, listen. How do you think the next chick moves in on a dude that's married? How do you think the next chick gets so close?
The same shenanigans.
You sitting talking to her, venting about all the things you don't like in your wife, about all the things your wife don't do. She's taking notes. She's like, oh, can't do that. Oh, can't do that. Oh, got to do that.
Yep.
So by the time she get a hold of you, she's the perfect one. You be like, oh, she does all the stuff my wife won't do. Oh, I love her. I got to marry her. I got to leave my wife for her.
Until the novelty wears off.
Until the lie is up, until the jig is up, and you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Yep.
I'm in a worse situation.
This is good, fellas. This is good. It's a little bit after 10:30. A couple more minutes left. I gotta throw another one out there to you.
Good.
Are y'all ready?
Yeah, go ahead, man. Get it on out there.
You in it? All right. You don't satisfy me anymore because you've gotten overweight. You're overweight.
That don't apply to me, so that apply to you other brothers.
I mean, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. If you are one of the ones who are 5 year plus in marriage, and if you got married, you got home, you got satisfied, you got kids now, two, you got jobs, you're not working out like you used to, you're not going to look the same that you did when you first saw her walk down that aisle.
Nope.
And you're not going to feel the same. You might feel an extra love handle over there on the side. Some of us might like it, some of us don't. So how is that? I mean, is that a deal breaker?
Yeah, how do you guys feel about that? You know, you got a little pudgy. How do y'all feel about it? I'm kidding.
you know what I told my wife?
Yeah.
Because she told me that. Because, you know, I've always been pretty much a little dude, but, you know, since I got married. But I told her, I said, you know, it's your fault. You know, because before we got married, I was Burger King and McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? And now it's, you know, baked chicken and, you know, and cream potatoes. So, I mean, you know what I mean? Because I was one of those dudes, I never really thought that I would gain a lot of weight. And since I've been married, I've gained like 30 pounds.
Wow.
And, you know, but it's, you know, I said, well, baby, it's your fault. You know, you don't want to give me seconds and all that. So I'm not going to turn it down. So, you know, I just, you know, stop feeding me. you know, because I've never been the type to work out. I mean, you know, some dudes been out for that, man. And I'm just one of those dudes, you know? So,
yeah.
You know.
I understand where you're going.
But that's, I mean, that's like P. You know, P would probably say that he has probably chiseled himself. He probably went the other way, right, P, since you got married?
Yeah. Other way. I went the other way, and I'm not going to really tolerate spouse that way either.
Oh, man. So she can't get a little pudgy. None of that.
No, no. And I think, no, I'm not even going to try to talk around it, no.
But it's a serious factor, right? I mean, you've met guys, or heard guys, or talked to some of your friends that have probably been in that situation where their desires for their wife is not the same. They don't look at her sexually the same due to the fact of their looks.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, that can go both ways. You know, I've told y'all before that after my wife had two kids, I liked the weight gain, you know, but she didn't like it. But I liked it, but it didn't really, to a point, it wasn't that I wasn't satisfied with her, you know, either way. It didn't really matter to me, but, you know, I was like P early in my marriage. I was like, don't you be, you know, getting pudgy. You know, I met you at a certain, you know, you were six when I met you. You know, you a little girl, you know, but once you be getting too pudgy, and then, you know, I have two kids later, I'm like, well, I kind of like that, you know. And she was like, I don't like it, you know. And then she started running, and, you know, she dropped it, you know, quick. She's probably smaller than now, you know, than when we first met, you know. And I still, you know, like I say, I wasn't that I was upset with her anyway. You know, I love her either way. But, you know, that can go either way. That can go either way.
Oh. Yeah, because my wife tells me all the time, you got to get rid of that belly. I'm like, stop eating.
Right. No, but I think, Mr. Host, you can even stretch that question out where it can absolutely apply to me, and it's about, you know, like you said, just being in shape. You know, because I was a lot more fit 12 years ago when we first got married, but now I'm still a, you know, skinny dude. It's not that, but I'm not as fit and in shape and, you know, as I used to be. So, but I mean, just, you know, just being, just working out and being, you know, healthy and that kind of stuff. It can't hurt, you know.
So do you compromise? Do you, because, you know, saying it, the way you say it, the way it comes out your mouth, is going to affect a whole lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to say it 100% correct. You know, 99.9, they're going to take it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you come by, you know, your wife and say, hey, you need to handle this? Somebody please answer that question.
I think it's just honest. I mean, you got to be honest. I mean, of course, you're going to have some tact in how you say it, but you just got to be honest with it. I mean,
but
especially
honest,
if it's...
You know, honesty is not the best policy all the time.
Yeah, that's understandable, but I think when it comes down to it, I mean, if you tiptoe around it, I mean, then you can give off a whole other false alternate route that is not going to get you ultimately in the long run where you would like it to be. And then it's like, okay, well, this person has been going 12 miles off the path when you just could have said it. Either way, it's going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You're just honest with it and say, okay, look, I'm not going to lie to you. These pounds that you're putting on is impacting me in this way. And, I mean, it's going to hurt no matter what. But that's the whole concept behind, again, being in this marriage. Now, I'm sure they say things to us as guys that sometimes hurt and don't feel the greatest. I mean, because as a guy, if somebody's telling you that you need to get rid of a belly, you've gotten bigger, I mean, you ain't really taking that the greatest. You're not. You know, or if somebody's making a statement about you need to be doing a little bit more in the house or finding more opportunities financially for us to be able to diversify our portfolio and do things, you're not going to take that the greatest, but you're going to take it to heart, and as we talked about on this call, as men,
you're going to figure it out. You're going to do it. Because if nothing else, you're going to take it as a personal challenge, and I think that's the difference between men and women. I'm going to take it as a personal challenge. You done said something to me now. Okay, I'm going to punch you in your face with this when I flip it and bounce it. So, because I'm going to show you that, wow, okay, you said it and you only had to say it one time. One time. But the fact is, I think for a lot of us guys, when it comes to this area, like, again, and this is what I said many times before, is we keep giving them these passes and tiptoeing around it. I don't understand why you just can't be honest. It doesn't mean, like, you got to be, like, super aggressive and be like, yo, you're like a hippo and I don't ride hippos or blah, blah, blah. I mean, you don't have to do anything like that. But, I mean, you need to be able to just honestly say it.
Yeah, but I think that the answer to your question is the reason why guys don't say it is because they don't want to hear the backlash of that.
Yeah.
Then that's just a, you know what, I mean.
It's a cop-out.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to hear the backlash, but that's part of the reason why marriages to some degree go down those roads and get so far off the path. It's because nobody ever wants to hear the backlash. Nobody wants to hurt somebody's feelings. You know, and a lot of times it's not even intentional. It's about really just talking about the things that you need and want. And that honesty, I mean, man, if you can't even do that, I mean, just think about it. It just builds on the next thing, on the next thing. So if you tell it, you know what, the 10 pounds you gained ain't that bad. If you put on another 15, which is what you can keep, that ain't that bad. Okay. It's pretty bad now. You 25 up. But it's not just bad with regards to your weight, but now we've had to buy a new wardrobe. I've had to probably deal with you not being happy at different points with your own self, but I've got to still be supportive. I mean, there's a lot of randomness that you're just like, wait a minute, we just talked about this head on, or if you told me stuff that I wasn't doing head on, we could make it work.
Yeah.
We can figure it out.
Because, come on, man, because I know everybody's had this same conversation that I have where your wife asks you, how do I look in this dress? And you can't give a definite answer.
No.
It's about time to go. And you know she's going to be like, well, I'm not going. And then we got an argument, like, why are you not going?
Whatever. Yeah, that's a lose-lose question. You just say, the best thing to say is no comment.
Tell me either. Well, why is it no comment?
Yeah. You know, I say, well, they don't go right with them shoes or something like that. You know, I'm going to say that, hey, that dress is a little bit, unless I know, I'd be like, oh, you're not going in that dress. You know, like my daughter, I say that all the time. No, them shorts too short. Go take them off and throw them in the trash because you ain't putting them on no more. You know, I can say that to her.
Mm-hmm.
But unless I won't be direct, unless I think it's too sexual, I'll be like, hold on.
Yeah.
I ain't going to be out. I want to hear have fun, but I don't want to have to be out here have to get guys off of you because you over here got some of these fitted jeans on showing your hind parts.
Good words. But, Mr. Host, can I flip it in another direction before you shut her down?
Yes, sir.
Just tying back to the topic. I've been thinking about this all night, but I think it's time. But what if she's not satisfied with your faith or you're not satisfied with hers?
Ooh.
That's deep.
Yeah, it is deep. That happened to me before.
Yeah, I mean, really. You know,
yeah.
You're not satisfied with her faith, or she just not say, I mean, you say you're the head of household, but you're really not. You know what I mean? She's really not that confident in your ability to lead, you know, in that realm, you know, when it comes to your faith and guiding the direction of the household, you know. So, I mean, what about that? You know, when it comes to faith, that you're not satisfied with her faith or she's not satisfied with your faith. What? How do y'all deal with that?
Well, hopefully it's something that you address prior to even getting married. And you have some type of understanding of that before you get in, because the worst thing that can happen is you have a mutual understanding, and then somebody gets in, and all of a sudden they call an audible. Because if they call an audible and you weren't expecting that, you're like, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. We never went to church before.
Mm-hmm.
We never have gone to church in our 6 years of being married. Our kids haven't grown up in no church, and that's just not what we've done. And now magically you want to go to church every Sunday and go to this on Wednesday night and go to this. Whoa, that's a huge audible right there. And if you're frustrated with my lack of faith or my commitment to faith or whatever, but you change yours, again, I think it goes back to we got to be talking about these expectations and things that are going on. Because when it comes to a marriage, when someone changes some key core things about them like that, you know, like faith, communication, financial status, intimacy decisions, whatever, you got to talk those out. They can't be things where you just all of a sudden wake up one day and I'm going to, could you imagine your wife all of a sudden, I don't know if we have any vegetarians on the call, your wife's like, everything's, we're going to be vegans. I'm not cooking.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
I'm not cooking any more meat, and my family won't have any more meat. My kids won't have any meat, and my husband won't have any meat. We won't do any of that. Can you imagine that?
I saw it this weekend at the family reunion where the wife was, I'm not getting rid of my chicken and green beans and stuff, but the husband was a vegetarian. He didn't eat meat.
Right. But I'm making that comparison to say that in this situation with regards to faith and a person saying that you're not where they thought you would be, or you're not satisfying me, that's something you got to talk about. You can't just throw it. You can't just call an audible like that, and I think that's where people get in trouble in marriages with these major things, intimacy, finances, communication, faith, is because we're not talking about it. I mean, you got to share with me what your thoughts are. It doesn't matter how frustrated you are with me, how we just go through the motions. You call me at work, and I really don't want to talk to you. We want to just get through it. Or, hey, get some milk, and blah, blah, blah. All right, peace. Whatever. But if you have a serious situation in those areas, again, finances, communication, intimacies, and faith, you got to bring that stuff up. You can't blindside somebody with that and then get frustrated with their reaction or bent out of shape about it and then say, yeah, well, you're not satisfying me here. Well, wait a minute. I didn't even get a chance to re-up my skill sets to be able to think about even satisfying you. I didn't get a chance to even talk to you to see if that was the route I wanted to go in. And this, again, goes back to what we were talking about on a call last week. You're setting me up for failure. You're kind of trapping me on this, so the outcome is not going to be positive. My response is not going to be positive when I don't know anything. I know nothing. So when you come at me and say, yeah, you know, I want us to go to church this Sunday. We've never gone to church in our life. So when I look at you confused, like, what? Be mad at me saying, what? Because you just brought it out of left field. Well, you come upstairs completely dressed in the dress and the baby dress and everything. Like, we're going to church. Are you going to get up and go with us? What? We have never gone to church in our life. So you can't throw something like that on a person, male or female, and you haven't talked it out. So hopefully you have. And I think that's why I was saying originally at the beginning with regards to who you're marrying, hopefully you talked it out. And if you have talked it out and things begin to change, then you need to make sure that you're conveying how you're evolving, how you're changing. I mean, it's not like in a marriage where you can look at a person physically and see that your wife or your husband is aging. You can see that. You have to talk to me about that. I can look at you and see that you're starting to get gray hairs in your head. You're starting to get a couple more wrinkles in your hands. Yeah, I can see that your feet are swelling or joints aren't moving as loosely as I used to do before with regards to your knees or something like that. You don't have to say anything to me. I can see it. But when it comes to stuff of communicating or emotional setting or spirituality or faith or thoughts surrounding intimacy, I can't see that. You got to talk to me about that. So hopefully that's what people would do. But that, of course, is not what people do, and that's where we get into these issues. That's where we get into these issues, because people just don't talk. They don't talk. I mean, you know, you just gave the example how you sit up and talk all the way through midnight until the next day about nothing. So now we got pertinent things that we need to talk about in order to keep us on track, and we can't even do that. That makes no sense.
Well, let me ask you this, just another layer to that question. And I apologize, Mr. Host, if I'm getting you off track, but...
No, you're right on...
I wanna,
you don't know how close you are to the...
I want to ask and just give this question a little more texture, and this can be, you know, to P or who, anybody wants to jump on it. But the question I want to ask is that, are we only in our marriage to get something out of it? And that's a deep question. I mean, are we only in it to, you know, make sure that our needs are met and that's it? Or are we there as, you know, to make sure that our wife's needs are met, that our wife is satisfied? I mean, when you think about it, I mean, are we only there to get something out of it? Is it all about us? Is it just about me and what I want and what I need? Is that what our marriages is all about? I mean, think about that.
There
is that what your marriage is all about?
There are some me marriages, and then we try to put we in at the end. However,
I mean, the honest truth to that is both. I mean, it's both. I mean, nobody's going anything just to be blindly, stupidly in love with somebody, giving them everything and not expecting anything in return. I know that's that's what Christ would do, but we can only strive to be Christ-like. Am I wanting to be Christ-like? I mean, yeah. I mean, it's the whole thing of that compromise. So in a compromise is, I'm going to get something, you're going to get something, and we in it together.
Mm.
I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the truth. The thing that, because here's the thing, the person that goes into it, and then I'm going to shut up because I'm talking a lot, and I apologize.
The
person that goes into it saying, you know, I'm just going to please my spouse, and I'm not going to expect anything in return. Serenity now, insanity later. They're going to blow up at some point, and that's going to be that crazy audible that person that's been used to just getting everything and never having to give is going to be confused about. They're going to be like, well, wait a minute. This is how it's always been. I've never had to do anything for you. You just did everything for me.
Mm.
So it would be crazy not to think that, yeah, you expect to get something out of it. And we can keep it on the base level of, I expect you not to be doing anything intimately with anyone else. That's to benefit me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of both.
Don't be quiet.
Goes back to those expectations.
Yeah, and speaking of those expectations, just one more, and then I'll shut up and give it back to the host. But I want to, what if, you know, the host asked your wife, you know, would she respond that you don't satisfy her anymore?
Mm.
Like if he, you know, literally got a chance to get her on the phone or email or something, and he asked, how's Peyton doing? How's, you know, whoever?
I'm not gonna lie to you.
So she was with you.
I'll probably tell you that flat out. But that's not gonna take away from the fact that she's in love with me, wants to be with me, wants to spend time with me, and just. But she's frustrated a lot, probably.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we just have different ways of saying things. So yeah, she would be honest with you. She would tell you. And the positive side of that is not only would she tell you. But she tells me, and I tell her, and we talk openly and honestly about it. Doesn't mean that we always agree on things, but it's the fact that we have that discussion, and that's the key that I think has allowed us to continue to flourish. I mean, we love hard, and we disagree hard.
Well, you say
that allows
you disagree.
Us to be in a great situation, in a great marriage.
So, but you say you disagree. So, how do you fix that if she's telling you that you don't satisfy me anymore and you're saying, well, I disagree. We just got to agree to disagree. I mean, how do you fix that with that, you know, with that stance, with that position? You know, how do you fix that of saying, I don't agree, you know?
I work at it. And what I do by working at it is I definitely am willing and open, and I make suggestions, and so does she, with regards to whether it's reading a book, going to see somebody in a third party. You guys are even talking to me about the third party stuff. You know, doing that stuff, if it's basically taking on new responsibilities within the home or outside the home, if it's doing things with our child because I need to take stuff on, I take it on. And then we reassess, we reevaluate, and we rejuvenate. I mean, and that's,
That's the basis of it. I mean, my big thing that I continue to stress to my wife in here is that, look, hey, we just got to be talking. You know, we got to be talking. You got to call out every pick that's coming. Do not let me get knocked to the ground on something that I didn't see because you didn't call the pick out.
Mm.
And you the one setting the pick. That's the crazy part about it. Now, follow me on this. Sometimes in your marriage, the person that's setting the pick is on your own team. And that's unfortunate because it's really simple. When all you got to do is get the chatter going, talk. You know a basketball game when you see that person get clobbered off that pick because nobody told them. Nobody said, hey, pick left. And they get crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And you just basically want the same thing in your marriage. Just call the pick out. Talk to me. You know, because here's the thing. I'm going to try to avoid it. Sometimes, you know what, I'm going to take the charge and I'm going to bow through the pick because I'm going to set the tone as to how this is going to be if you're going to try to keep setting these picks on me. You won't do it again.
Mm.
But that's talking it out, though.
That is.
You just don't want the person that's setting the picks to be on your own team. You know, and that's how I do it. It's not that I just say, we just disagree and blah, blah, blah. I mean, at different phases, I will say, sometimes I take that road and just be like, bump it, whatever. You just ain't going to like me on this one. But majority of times, that's not what I do because I understand that it's not going to bode well for me in the long run. I got that quick little victory of, I won the battle, but she's going to get the war. She's going to win it out off, and most women win it out with the intimacy piece. They'll kill you with that. Remember Mortal Kombat? That's the finish him move.
Yeah. But I think you said it best when you said communication, and I think that absolutely on both sides, that has to be communicated. You don't satisfy me anymore, whether you're telling her that or she's telling you that. I mean, that's the bottom line, because how are we going to know, how is she going to know if that is not communicated, you know, that you don't satisfy me anymore and don't. You know, don't try to remedy it, you know, or don't go outside, you know, and without going to, you know, your spouse and talking about it. You know, just bring it up, say, you know what, bottom line. And like you said earlier, Pete, that's a tough conversation for your wife to come sit you down and say, you know what, have a seat. You know, you really is just not, this ain't working for me. I mean, that's a tough conversation, you know, and we can't just be like, I disagree. You know, I'm going to get some Kool-Aid or whatever. I mean, you got to really sit there and take that. I mean, and find out and dig deep and say, hey, okay, all right. You know, I wasn't expecting this, but, you know, please lay it on me and
tell me how. It's almost like in an evaluation, just like you would get an evaluation at your job.
Exactly. There it is. Just like the marriage report card. Y'all remember that? That was,
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was it. But this is great, fellas. It's 11 o'clock, but I got one more.
One more.
I got to end with.
One more.
And if we move on, for past 11, we just move on past 11. But I got to put this out there because a lot of men have said this or gone through this, and you might know some of them. So we got to answer this question for them. And we've done a great job of doing that tonight for all of the questions that we brought to the table tonight. You don't satisfy me anymore because I can never satisfy you. Can we ever satisfy our wives completely?
No.
Mm.
No.
Why not?
That's very fast enough? No.
That's two no's. Anybody else want to say it? Can I get a yes somewhere? Can I get one yes?
I think we can all get an amen on that. Yeah. Mm-mm.
So there's no way of getting around. We just can't satisfy our wives.
No.
Completely. Let me make sure I put completely in there. I'm not saying we can't satisfy our wives on certain things, but completely we would never be able to satisfy our wives.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. That's good, Mr. Host. Yeah. You got your answer on that.
That would kind of take the challenge and the beauty out of marriage. I mean, to me, because it's like you had nothing else to work for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love to find other ways to, you know, it's almost like trying to outdo yourself every day. As far as loving to satisfy your wife.
Yeah. I know in our early days when we were going through troubles, I think this is probably 7th, 8th year of our marriage, right after the honeymoon was over and we start getting into the financial and all these changes that's going on,
mm-hmm.
that when we were just mad at each other and couldn't communicate, that I would always say I could never satisfy this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to stop trying. Because everything I do, there's going to be a complaint. Or I left out a step, or, you know, I didn't finish it on time. It was, you know, I was like, is this woman ever satisfied? Can I get that validation that we talked about? I think for men, we know that we can't never satisfy, but we just want to be validated on the things that we did.
Yep, there you go.
Yep,
there you
yep,
go.
Yep,
in addition to that, you know, Chuck was on to something that we know that going in, fellas. You know, everybody, you know, that we all was in agreement that we cannot completely satisfy her, but yet and still we're willing to sign up for the challenge. And that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah.
And it is a challenge, and it's a challenge that you will never master. Like, it'll never be the day where you can say, you know, I know this chick now. You know, 28 years later, you know, you get a medal or something. That'll never happen. You know, you might figure out, you know, something here or there, but still be something else tomorrow or the next day or the next week or the next month or the next year.
Amen. And, fellas, just in closing, and knowing that last question was very, very important, but with that last question being very, very important, that we won't be able to satisfy our wives completely. Well, in the flip term, they won't be able to satisfy us completely. But that's the fun part of marriage, is because the only person that we together are supposed to be satisfying is God.
Amen.
And if you want your marriage to do that, then you will be that person when you go to the family reunion that says, how many people have been married for 50 years? Please stand. You will be the one standing and not these others. And then they'll be wondering, how did you fix that call? Well, I went to TalkShoe.com and I listened to WW Household Stress, for one thing. But two is because of what one of our participants said, and that's communication, intimacy, participating with each other, and doing those things collectively will keep your marriage strong. Regardless of what other small stuff that happens, don't sweat the small stuff. Even though we got to look at it, the major part of keeping our marriage together is through faith. And as long as we have faith in God, regardless of what happens, we can get through anything.
Amen. There it
is. With that being said, that is tonight's call. It's 11:05. We'll
hey,
be back
Patrice?
Next week. Yes, sir.
You got a question going on the chat line?
Uh-oh.
You might want to check it out.
Oh, there's a question up here from guest 12 that says, can a woman be trained? So can you train your woman to satisfy you? I'm assuming that's what they're asking.
I mean, to train is
because most women are act like young girls is what this person is saying, and they don't act like women.
And it's not derogatory, because they try to train us.
Yep.
That is true.
I think the bottom line to guest 12's question is that you have to communicate. Now, you may want your woman to do things that I don't need her to do, and vice versa. But, I mean, you just have to communicate what you want. And I think P was talking about it earlier, is that we don't communicate our expectations. You know, we're just all in the, you know, the tingles phase. Oh, you know, everything is great. But it's like, no, what are we going to be doing between 25 and 30? 30 to 40? Are we going to be saving for retirement? Are we going to be traveling? You know, we need to have those deep conversations.
Yeah, we do. We're going to need that that deep conversation because we can't live in the now. When you're married, you cannot live in the now. You have to continue to plan. You got a life cycle. There's a reason why they call it a life cycle. A marriage is a life cycle. You're going to have changes. You're going to have to change processes. You're going to have to change the way you do things. If you get a new job, if you lose a job, if somebody gets sick, you know, so you have to always be prepared as the head of household to take on those responsibilities. And one of the responsibilities is communicating with your wife and letting your wife know your expectations. That's kind of hard. And when you look and you add that in, so where's that fit in this life cycle that we're supposed to be planning out for our family? But somehow we have to add that in to every step of the way. And I'm still working on it. I'm not there, fellas, but I'm getting better. These calls are making me better communicate with my wife.
Yeah, and that's what I just literally answered. Guest 12 is that, you know, we have these forms that, and Tony set it up so beautifully, that this way women can hear how men think, and we're all different, but we're all the same in a lot of ways. But when they listen to us, true heads of households talk, they can't interject. You know, there is no, you know, response, and there's no, well, that point, you know, I want to talk about that point, I want to question you on that. All they have to do is listen. All they can do is listen. You know, so I mean that's the bottom line. Send them to householdstress.com and just have them listen, because that was the whole point of the whole thing, you know, to get women to actually listen to men talk, because on both sides, when we communicate, we don't listen. We hear each other, you know, men and women, but we're not really listening to each other. I know when I talk to my wife, I'm waiting, you know, to respond. You know, I'm like, well, I got a point for that. I'm not really listening. I'm waiting for my opportunity to jump in and debate or disagree with that point, or that point's wrong or that one's right. But I'm
man,
not
just
really...
say what it is. Just say what it is. You're waiting to defend yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Thank you, brother. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, one thing we can't do is we can't get in a training game in marriage. You should not have to train your wife to do something. She shouldn't have to train you to do something. You should be, you know, compromising and agreeing that you will do these things to make your marriage better and making those changes yourself.
Yeah, but don't we have those conversations at the beginning during the dating stage? Like, I don't eat pork. I don't like string beans. I don't eat cabbage. You know, I don't like the opera. You know what I mean? I don't know how to drive a stick shift. Just certain things you find out. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, you're supposed to be taking notes. We're all supposed to be taking notes. I don't think it's about training, but do they listen? Do they hear the things that, you know, you like and dislike? And then you, perfect example. Me and my wife have been to a million restaurants. A million. I had Thai food once and didn't like it. She likes to eat Thai food, okay? I didn't go with her to the Thai restaurant. And I'm the villain because of that. You know, I tell you, a long time ago, I tried it, didn't like it. So am I wrong because I won't go with you to a Thai restaurant? You know, in the beginning, we talked about it. Now you know. So now everything changes and the amnesia comes, and now I'm the bad guy.
No disrespect, my brother, to you or your wife, but Thai food ain't good. So I would stay home, too.
I've had it once myself. I'm not the best fan of Thai food. But,
no.
You know.
Japanese, Chinese, but Thai, no, that's you know, Thai, Vietnamese, that's some different stuff there. No. No offense to anybody, but, yeah.
I tried it, and I didn't like it. So, but now that I'm married, And now, so I got to compromise to that point. I got to say, okay, well, you know what? We're going to go anyway. I'm going to find something. I'll just eat some plain rice. Or whatever the case may be. You know, it's all about, in the beginning, you say these things, you know, and you hope that it doesn't come back up and be thrown in your face. And I think that sometimes we do say these things what we don't like, and we try to train to a certain extent. We try to let them know, okay, these are the things I like. You know, some women, you know, even sexually, you'd say what you like and what you don't like sexually in the beginning. Certain things drop off and certain things are added. You know, certain things you don't like, you know, now she's trying to do them. You're like, whoa, I don't like that. You know? So I know I'm rambling, but I think that in the beginning we need to set the stage and stick to it and don't deviate. And I think that'll help with the training process.
Oops, sorry, I had phone on mute. I agree. I just don't like that word training.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to figure out another word, but if you got to train somebody, that's not marriage to me. But if you can communicate with somebody and say, listen, you know I'm not going to go with that thing. I don't like it. You know, are you going out with a friend? Is it because you could have looked at it another way and say, did she just want you to go because she wanted you to go? You didn't have to eat, or you could have just got a salad, but she just wants you to just go with her. Because a lot of women just want you to go with them. You know, just go with me. I know you don't like it. But sometimes we make sacrifices and be like, look, I don't want to look at the Oxygen Channel or Lifetime. But I know you don't want to sit here and watch football with me either. So I'm going to compromise and I'm going to watch Lifetime with you, even though I don't want to watch it.
Man, you need to get up on the Lifetime Movie Channel.
I don't want to.
That joint is the bomb.
Oh, sir. Don't say that too loud, man. Let me cut the phone off. Cut the record off.
Hey, I'm being real with you, but I think that to the brother's point, he was right. Go with her. I think she wants you to go with her, but just swing on by Subway or, you know, somewhere and get you a little sandwich and then, you know, eat it at a Thai restaurant with her. You know, it's, you ain't got to eat Thai to go to the Thai restaurant. That's my point.
So then you won't look like the villain.
Right, because you're there.
It don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter. I've been accused of being there with the long face, places I don't want to go. We can't win.
That's because you didn't get anything to eat prior to going over there.
You can't win, so you show up anyway, and you ain't happy because you're there, and it's obvious.
And it shows on your face.
There with the wrong face, and it's on your face. It is what it is. You can't win.
No, you can't win in that situation.
Brother, you just need to get some training on how to go somewhere and not let your emotions show all over your face. That's all you need.
How about not go?
That I understand. Hey, listen, I'm 100% behind you.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing out the option.
Yeah.
Now, if the option doesn't work, then stick with plan A. Just don't go at all.
I mean, listen. There's some places that you're not going to go with your spouse. There's some places she's not going to go with you.
Walmart, I'm not going there.
You see what I'm saying? Well, you have places that you're like, look, I ain't going. It should be respected, period.
Mm-hmm. Should be.
You know?
But it goes back to that last question of the evening. Can you ever satisfy your wife fully? There's always going to be some type of complaint.
Yeah.
If you're trying to do the right thing by saying, listen, I want you to have fun, you go. I'm not going to go because I'm not going to feel comfortable around Thai food because I just don't like it. So you go and have fun. You know, I'll pick me up something to eat and holler at you when you get back. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But that's that might not be good enough for them. They're not satisfied with that answer.
Well, it's not going to be good enough. It's not going to be good enough. I mean, you know it's not going to be good enough, but at the end of the day, sometimes they got to take one for the team, just like we do most of the time.
You know, they don't like taking one for the team. They want you to take one for the team, but they ain't going to like taking one for the team.
Well,
that's what I ain't never figured out.
If they do, they'll tell you about it. Like, you know I'm taking one for the team. You know,
yeah.
You know I'm taking one for the team. By the way, let me tell you, let me text you, I'm taking one for the team. You know, they'll let you know all kinds of ways.
Oh, boy, you never hear the end of it.
They take a lot for the team in the dating stage. Some of y'all will get that tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think so. Good word. Good word.
That's what.
All right. At this time, does anybody else have anything for the topic of the evening? Topic of the evening, again, is you don't satisfy me anymore.
Yeah.
I think we had a great call. For the ones that just popping on, we have had our good topic. Our topic starts at 9 p.m. to 11, and sometimes it moves on after 11. But our topic tonight was, you don't satisfy me anymore. And we had some great stuff. And now we're going to end the call, and we're going to go in. But don't get off the phone. We want to go into our, what is it called?
Open mic.
Open mic. Open mic stage. And then that way we can talk about anything that you need to get off your chest. But before we do that, we have our topic for next week.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Mr. Host. Next week's topic, why women cheat. Be here or be square.
Why women cheat. That's going to be a big one, fellas.
I'm excited already.
So right now I'm going to cancel the call. We know the call is for next week. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Household Stress Com. And our topic this evening was, you don't satisfy me anymore. And our topic next week will be, why women cheat. I hope to see you then.